with the scriptures about the end of the world. And I find that so delightful because so often Advent is characterized by this like quiet waiting for this little baby to be born, and everyone's imagining that it's all going to go peaceful. And how many of you ever had a baby? And that is often not what having a baby is actually like. Having a 21-month-old son, I remember the sense that the world was falling apart that entire time that we were in the hospital and that following week. And then kind of up until, you know, yesterday. But Advent is not about waiting for this little baby to be born. Advent is actually about waiting, hoping, praying fervently that maybe, just maybe, the world could be different. That maybe, just maybe, this year, actual light, rather than a fluorescent or neon attempt at light. That perhaps actual mercy and justice, actual truth, the reality of God might be born into the world in the midst of the darkness. Maybe, just maybe. A change is coming. How does that make you feel? Again, I really don't ask a lot of rhetorical questions. A change is coming. How do you feel about it? Excited? Nervous? Joy? Expectant? Curious? Longing? Adventurous? What do we hope to change? And what do we hope doesn't change? Often we're on the fence, right? We want change so badly in these particular areas of our lives which we have set aside for change. And then these other areas of our lives, we have set boundaries around where we say, God, I would like you to work here, please. If you could make this happen, that would be lovely. These things, I've got them. I'm on top of this, right? But what do we know about change? It is inevitable, and it is pervasive. There is not a single thing in your life which will not change. In fact, our whole concept of stability is often imaginary. In fact, our whole concept of things being stable is really about us being able to predict how they will change, being able to anticipate those changes, and therefore, well, this is really stable because this is how we thought this was going to go. But what we can predict is always within the limits of what we can imagine. And this is what I love about God, is that I have found that the places where God is the most active in my life are the places where the outcomes I could never have possibly predicted. You know, people say truth is stranger than fiction. How many times has something that just does not make any sense fallen into place in a way that you could not possibly have predicted it? Or how many times has something fallen apart so magnificently terribly that you could not possibly have anticipated all of the different ways that that was going to go wrong? We welcome the possibility of change because we look around the world and we see brokenness. We see discord, we see strife, we see division in our society, and we say, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be more here. We see conflict in our families or with our neighbors, and we say, we can imagine a different way of this being. I would like to offer that disorder, that the disruption of everyday normal life, is actually a space of deep possibility, because perhaps in the disorder of the status quo, there could be a correction of the status quo. That oftentimes when things seem stable and smooth and even, it's really because we're trying to clamp down and control and project our vision of how the world is supposed to work. And maybe, just maybe, our experiences of those times of discord and chaos and strife and tumult and upheaval are actually times where our limited frame, our limited expectations of how the world is supposed to work, are finally being broken open so that we could see potentially a new way of the world being done. A new way of our life being lived, a new way of our relationships happening. How many times has something going wrong allowed you to get closer to someone else? How many times has even just waiting on something, waiting on a bus that didn't show up, giving you the opportunity to speak to someone? I'm going to pick a different thing. Sometimes you get an idea and you're like, not for public consumption. But something is just off. And you look at the other person and you say, this is off, isn't it? And they say, you know what? And then now you're engaged in a conversation with them. And even if you don't see them for another couple of hours, the next time you spot them walking through the grocery store on the other aisle, you've got a connection. Because you started something. And that little bit of discord, that little bit of disruption, that broken pickle jar, it gave you somewhere to start. When the world is in chaos, it gives us an opportunity to remodel the house. Right? Some of you know about this when your water heater goes out, or when there's mold in the wall, and you tear it out, and you say, well, I would want a walk-in shower. Some of you know about it in completely different ways. But Jesus says there will be a sprouting of the trees. And when that happens, you know that summer is near. That maybe the disruption of the world is actually a heralding of the possibility that God's justice could be established now. That maybe this thing being shaken up is an opportunity for us to have a different conversation. That's what I keep hoping. I'm just going to take a second for politics. That's what I keep hoping about the impeachment inquiry. I hope we stop talking about the president and we start talking about the global arms trade. Because you know that that whole thing is framed around us giving $230 million worth of weapons to Ukraine. And that is only one of many countries that we distribute massive global weapon systems to all over the world. And so does Russia, and so does China, and we need to start having a conversation about the new global arms race and the new dangers that are threatening everyone on the planet. I hope that this little stupid fight that we're having gives us the opportunity to have a different conversation about what real justice looks like, what real security looks like, what real responsibility looks like. I'm holding out hope, but I'm feeling pretty naive, I gotta tell you. But I'm holding out hope anyway. And that's the thing about hope, is it's a maybe. That this chaos will produce the establishment of God's justice. Maybe. It may, and it may not. Because we may decide to stay distracted. We may decide not to ask the bigger questions, because the bigger questions start disrupting more and more of the stability that we had counted on. When we start asking the bigger questions, we start undermining some of the bigger systems that create stability and security. Comfort. And we may not actually be ready to disrupt that yet. It may take something catastrophic for us to be willing to disrupt the smooth surface that we see in front of us. And maybe, just maybe, this is what Jesus is talking about. So historically, in the Christian church, the parousia, the second coming of Christ, has been this hoped-for moment. And if you read Paul's letters, his earliest letters say, it's happening tomorrow, folks. Get your stuff in order. And then his later letters are like, well, we hope that it's happening. But, you know, we probably ought to think about, you know, planting grain for next year. And in fact, Martin Luther even says, if I knew that the world was ending tomorrow, what would I do today? I would plant a tree. Why? Because there has to be some commitment to right now, even if there's an anticipated tomorrow. But the point I'm trying to make is, historically in Christian theology, the second coming of Christ has been this immediate, total, direct intervention by God. That life is just going on, right? You've all heard about the Left Behind series. Everybody's just standing around, and all of a sudden, people just get snatched up. The world fundamentally changes in a moment, and it's all at God's directive. And all you are doing is sitting and waiting and watching and hoping and praying and, God willing, readying yourself. That it is an inevitable act that is one directional. And then there was a theology called process theology that came about after we saw that maybe the world isn't constantly getting better. Maybe there isn't a progression, direct line towards goodness and mercy and justice, because it seems like in human history there have been a fair number of deviations. There have been a fair number of turns away from being aligned with good and powerful and right and true things. There have been whole nations, whole empires that have grown up on the foundation of, well, of things that are not of God. Things of domination and subordination. Things of exploitation and control. Things of straight up theft and murder. Who said, well, if that's true, then how do we make sense of the world that we live in? And process theology came around to say, what if, instead of God being in direct control of all things, what if we are co-creators with God? What if in the story of Adam and Eve, when the imago Dei, the image of God, was planted inside of humanity, what if the image of God is as a creator, as something, a being with imagination, that can see possibility, that can hope? And if that's the case, and that things that come to pass are a combination of human and divine will, then all things are possible. Both the coming of a beautiful and structured and orderly and amazing, inclusive reign of God, and Auschwitz, Birkenau. All things are on the table. See, I think about the stories of Jesus, and I think about the stories of Advent. Could Jesus have been born if there wasn't the consent and the participation of Mary? Could Christ's ministry have grown and expanded if there weren't disciples who committed to following him and learning from him? He didn't write the Gospels, so who did? These people who decided to learn the stories and decided to compile them and decided to share them. And for 2,000 years, there have been people deciding to pass them on, one to the next, to the next, to the next. That perhaps divine intervention has been part of weaving human and divine will together. And that perhaps the second coming is the same way. That when Jesus tells us to watch, maybe instead of telling us to wait and sit on our hands and let God do all the heavy lifting, perhaps instead what he's saying is, I want you to watch for the places where the will of God is already, but not yet. The places where there's something sprouting, something moving, something calling you, and to shepherd it into being. That when you see something that is of God, you're not only watching for it, but you're naming it. And that by naming it, you're sharing it. And that by sharing it, you're co-creating and co-nurturing and supporting its development and growth. That in times of transition, he's literally telling us maybe what God needs most is people who are willing to raise their heads, to look up out of their own life and the stability that they thought they had that seems to be changing or crumbling or falling apart, and look for the possibility of God at work in these things. Because maybe, just maybe, our pretense of stability needed to fall apart before we could allow in the vision of God.